Blog Talk Radio.
All opinions, comments, and representations made by the hosts of Brilliant Ideas Radio and their guests are strictly for entertainment purposes. Well, at least that's what we think we're doing. Entertaining you. Welcome to Brilliant Ideas Radio. Brilliant Ideas Radio keeps you informed about all the awesome products and people in the food industry. Brilliant Ideas Radio is about food, music, and most importantly, having fun with your friends. And now, here is the man with the master plan, Brilliant Ideas, and his humble, oh-so-humble co-host, Crispy. So join the fun and call the studio number at 714-242-5272. Once again, the studio number is 714-242-5272.
Good morning, everybody out there in Blog Talk Radio land. What a cool new intro by Mr. Crispy. Crispy, good morning in Florida.
Good morning. The phone works. Yay.
Woo-hoo. Yay, the crowd is cheering. We're back on the air. You're on the air. Standing ovation. Crispy's here.
Thank you. I'm bowing to the crowd now, my humble minions. Yes.
Welcome, everybody, to another fun-filled hack show. We appreciate you tuning in on Saturday morning. Cut the crowd. All right, cut the crowd.
All right, that's enough.
Thanks for joining us. We have had some technical difficulties with my buddy Crispy, but he's live on the air, so it's going to be a good show today. If you listened last night, you missed a good show. We had Mandy Moore from Synchronicity PR, and if you wanted to find out how to become rich and famous, you could have last night. And how are we going to become rich and famous, Crispy?
I don't know. I'm hoping to win the lottery tonight, and then I'm just going to move out to California, buy the property next to your place, and build a radio studio, a station, and then we'll just take over the world from there.
Well, you know, we live in environmental world out here, so you're going to have to pass the EPA and do your environmental studies. And, of course, then you've got the neighbors who aren't going to be too happy about, about a 100-foot tower in their backyard. So you got all the NIMBYs who aren't going to be happy. And then you got to worry about the spotted owl and the green newt and the jumping frog. So good luck with that idea.
Awesome. And the coyotes trying to eat us as well.
Exactly. By the way, I forgot to do something last night. I forgot to give away a free gift, which I promised on our promos, but we got carried away with all the talk last night, and I forgot to give away the free coffee mug. So today, for those that are listening, sometime today after our first guest, I'm going to be asking a trivia question and giving away a free, what is this thing called? I guess it's a Brilliant Ideas coffee mug. And so a lucky listener, the first person to call in when we ask the trivia question later, will be winning the free coffee mug. And we're going to go right straight to our guest because we have a fun-packed day today. And Crispy, fill some dead air while I try to find her intro. We got something to add while I'm looking for this?
I can sing I'm a Little Teapot real quick.
No, you got to save that. By the way, speaking of that, we're only about 120 away on likes on our radio page. I believe it's what it is. I think we're now up to, 880?
Yes, I know. We're getting close, and I'm starting to sweat. Yes, I am. I will tell everyone, today on the grill, I think I'm going to make myself a mini cheese-stuffed burger slider. And I'm going to shove it into a bigger burger. You know, like those epic mealtime guys, but this is going to be Crispy style. A burger inside of a burger.
A burger.
That's what I'm
going to
do. That's right. I'm going to do something like that today. Of course, with barbecue boozer cranberry vodka sauce, of course, yes.
Oh, of course. Don't forget
yes.
that.
Yes. And I think for dessert, I'm going to have blackberry and banana pancakes like I did yesterday. Yeah, I've
well,
been taking notes on the show. I've been actually learning how to cook fresh and not eat
yeah.
frozen pizzas and put cheese
yeah.
on top of the frozen pizza. Yeah.
Well, I
yeah.
know someone asked you one thing, and I have the same question. If you make a blackberry pancake, doesn't that mess up the keyboard?
Oh, the phone? Oh, no. No, I have an Android. I don't use the BlackBerry. But, yeah, I saw that. I like the blackberries in the pancakes, man. They're pretty tasty. Yes.
Yes, they are. Well, guess what? I cannot find the intro. It's like Blog Talk Radio has changed the board, and I can't find the kitty cat intro. Can you face while we bring her on?
Yeah. And now, introducing the sinful queen of desserts. It's your favorite dessert queen lady, Kitty Cat. I don't remember what I said on it.
Well, there's no porn music in the background, so it's not as
no.
good. But welcome to
no. I'll have to work on that.
Welcome to the show.
Bonjour.
Welcome, sinful lady of the sweets of Saturday sinfulness. Yes.
Have you got your can-can outfit on this morning? You're going to be dancing across the stage, so I hope you're prepared.
Uh-oh. Well, I got it on, but I couldn't find my petticoat, so when I do the can-can, it's not going to be pretty.
Just make sure it's the stretchy one, not the very tight one, because we're talking about all kinds of really delicious desserts. And Crispy, I cannot believe you're making pancakes for dessert. I mean, we've all the really great
yeah.
stuff we're going to be talking about today. You're going to make pancakes for dessert?
Well, I've been poking around on your site, and I've actually found some interesting desserts that I'm going to try. I have to go to the grocery store first and grab the ingredients.
Well, they can't
yes.
be that. They're not that difficult. I mean, when I put stuff up on the blog, I try to make recipes that are easy for everybody to make, and the ingredients are, you know, things that we all have pretty available and have access to. I think there are a lot of great chefs out there, but a lot of times they forget that, you know, us homebodies who have to shop at the local grocery places don't have access to all of this stuff. But yeah, are you ready? I mean, are you ready?
You know
started?
What?
Oh, yeah.
I've never been so excited about Bastille Day in all my life.
Well, you know, Bastille Day is a French national day. It's called La Fête Nationale. There's all kinds of celebrations going on today. And
she's already talking dirty.
And as a celebration for Bastille Day, and all of my French friends, and actually most of my teachers in culinary school were French also, we've got four fantastic desserts we're going to be talking about. And the first one is a Saint Honoré cake. And it's something that I know everybody would love. However, it's not something that's very popular here in terms of being seen often in a lot of the pastry shops, unless you go to a more European type pastry shop in you know, the larger cities. You'd probably be able to find this in D.C.
Well, not necessarily. Crispy and I have that every weekend. We go out and get one of those fancy cakes.
Well,
yes.
It's one of those desserts that you know, is very European. You don't, you know, caramel, like the hard crispy caramel, isn't something that you see very often, but it makes for a really great textural aspect in the dessert. And basically what it is, it's an eclair filled with a pastry cream that's lightened with whipped cream, and then the top of it is dipped in caramel, and then it's left to set upside down. It creates this flat top. And sometimes you can make it into a larger version, or you can make it into like a little mini pastry version with just a little cap dipped in caramel. Have you ever had a croquembouche?
Excuse me?
Whoa.
I had it, but the doctor gave me something for it. I don't like to talk about it.
Well, you know, in France and actually in Australia these days, croquembouche is is the common wedding cake. So you go to a wedding, and that's what you have as your wedding cake. And basically what it is like thousands and thousands of little round cream puffs that are all glued together with caramel and decorated with all these beautiful sugar flowers. And they make huge ones, and it's the shape of a pyramid, like a little funnel type shape. But anyway, the Saint Honoré cake is kind of a spin-off off of that, but it's something that's a little bit easier to make and something a little bit more manageable, I think, for most people.
Yeah, you got to be careful. You got to be careful with your croquembouche.
Yes. Protect the croquembouche. Yes.
They are so delicious, and I just wish that more of us here in the States start trying things other than, other delicious desserts, which we have and are more traditional for our country. But, it's nice to be able to try different things instead of, your more generic apple pie or blueberry pie. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just nice to be able to do other things,
Yeah.
But anyway, so moving on, the next one is a roulade.
Okay. Was that a movie?
Well, maybe not the kind of movies we'd watch. Maybe more your maybe
I'm
more
sorry.
Your kid.
I was stuck on the porn music. Go ahead.
Well, and a roulade is a word that's used to describe very not only sweet but savory applications too. And you've probably seen a roulade, which means a roll. To roll something. Like the Italian brujol, a lot of times when you see, a piece of meat that's filleted and then filled with a filling and then rolled up.
Yeah, like a Hot Pocket.
We're switching the channel. We're going to the more European type of food here.
So we're talking about roulades, okay?
We're talking about roulades. And it's not roulade meaning a roll in the hay. It's a roulade talking about either a rolled piece of meat with a filling on the inside or, in this application, a cake that's made in a half sheet pan, very, very thin, and then you fill it with jam or custard or whipped cream or whatever it is that you choose, and then you roll it up.
Oh,
have you ever
a jelly
had
roll.
It's a jelly roll. It's exactly it. Well, I guess I had
all
to
right.
start.
like a crepe inside of a crepe kind of deal?
No.
Yeah, you have to roll it up,
cake.
Like a jelly roll.
No, this is a cake. It's not a crepe. A crepe is totally different. It's a very, very thin pancake. But this is a cake. And have you ever seen the ones that they make at Christmas time called the Bûche de Noël?
Interesting.
Silent
the bush is doing well.
We're not getting anywhere today.
Bush did well. Okay.
Bush did well. It's a French.
That means you've done a good job, Crispy.
Yes.
It's the French roll that's made, and it looks like a log, and you see them at Christmas time, and they make them look like logs. They decorate them with holly leaves and little mushroom caps that are made from meringues. Haven't
okay,
seen
so
them.
So it's like a pecan roll that's stuck.
Oh boy, we have to talk a little more culture here. But anyway,
yes, we do. But, okay, Bush done well. I'm with you.
So we're doing a roulade, and the really great thing about this recipe that I'm going to be providing for you is whenever I talk to people about making roulades, let's forget the roulade. Let's talk about jelly roll. It seems to be a little bit easier, a little bit more easier for you to grasp today. So the jelly roll is a little bit harder, a little bit harder for most people to want to make at home because they're afraid. They're afraid that once the cake cools, it's going to be really hard to roll up and it's going to crack, which if you don't have the right recipe, it does. And then you'll have a big mess. You won't have a roll. You'll just have a mess. So this recipe that I'm going to be providing for you is super easy, very easy for anybody to handle, and makes one large-sized jelly roll, and beautiful color, very easy to fill, and ready to go. It makes a really quick dessert. And it's something that you can make ahead of time and keep a bunch of them in the freezer so that, you know, if you have a knock at the door or somebody calls and says, you know, we're stopping by, you want to have something nice to offer, then you can pull one of these layers out of the freezer and let it thaw and then fill it up, roll it up, and you've got a beautiful dessert for
Or if you have major munchies at night, wink, wink, that you will have something available to go chow down on it and have all
That's
these
right.
roulades available. By the way, before we go further, spell roulade.
Say what?
Spell roulade before we go any further.
Spell roulade. Oh, I thought you said sell roulade. Spell roulade.
That's what roulade. I thought he said sell some roulades. I'm like, what?
Spell.
It's spelled
S-E-E-L-L.
It's R-O-U-L-A-D-E. Roulade.
Okay, because I'm designing a trivia question for the show later, and I wanted to make sure I was spelling it correctly. Okay,
yes.
Go ahead. You can continue.
Yeah. So, and make sure you incorporate the trick question, if it's sweet, savory, or both.
Sweet, savory, or both. Okay.
Yeah, because a lot of people might associate that with one or the other, but you could use it for both.
Okay. Okay.
You know,
cool.
I mean, the word applies to both types of applications.
Okay.
Anyway,
so then
the third type of dessert that we're going to be talking about today is something called dakwa.
Oh, boy.
Silence
dakwa.
Again.
Yes.
We're not doing well today. This is a very challenging show, I must say. But
yes,
dakwa.
Is.
Dakwa. It's let me spell
it
for
like
you.
Chinese? It's not like Chinese instead of French.
No. It's dakwa. Actually, there's another version. It's which is similar. The technique is just a little bit different. It's called japonais, and
okay.
japonais in French means Japanese. But I have no idea why it's called japonais. But what it is, it's a meringue, and it's a soft meringue. It's crispy on the outside. And it's real chewy on the inside.
That's kind of like our show.
Yes.
Crispy on the outside, chewy on the inside.
And gooey, soft, chewy, all of that.
Chewy and gooey, okay.
But the applications for dakwa and japonais, and let me just kind of clarify the two. A lot of people will say, well, it's basically the same thing. Why the hell have two different names? Well, dakwa is made with a cold meringue, and a cold meringue is a French meringue. And what I mean by a cold meringue is that you don't add a hot sugar to it. So it's an uncooked meringue, and it's one of those applications that is put on top of lemon meringue pie and then thrown in the oven to cook. Also is used for is to lighten cakes. And it's one of the things that you make when you make the roulade, because the roulade does not have any leavening in it. The only thing it relies on is the puff up from the whipped egg whites that are folded in and then baked in the cake. That's what creates the lightness in the cake.
Do you understand why Crispy makes pancakes for dessert now?
Yes, because my dakwa does not have a certain je ne sais quoi. Yes.
Now I know why there's silence every time I speak. But anyway,
yes. But
this is a good learning experience, don't you think?
It is.
Okay.
I've learned some really fancy words so far. we got the croquembouche, the bush done well, the roulade, and a dakwa.
And a japonais. Don't forget the japonais.
Oh, yeah,
the japonais.
Japonais.
And the japonais. Yeah. So the dakwa is made with a cold meringue. And the japonais is made with a meringue that is slightly heated. And what they do is they make a Swiss meringue. Well, let me back up a little bit. There are three types of meringues, and the Swiss meringue is one of them that is made over and whipped over hot water, not in hot water, but over hot water, and just heated through. And then once you make the meringue, then that's folded in. It just creates a more stable product. That's all. So. Dakwa, japonais, and one of the applications that they use to make from the japonais meringue is a cake called a marjolaine cake. And basically it's layered with a very, very rich European chocolate buttercream, which I'm going to be also making for the blog post this week. And you'll be able to see those, and they're absolutely beautiful. These are so delicious. If you ever come across a pastry shop that sells anything similar, definitely try it. A lot of cakes are made strictly from the meringue itself and then layered. Others use it as maybe like a base layer, and then they'll use a sponge cake and fill it with buttercream or custard in between. But either way, it is so outstandingly delicious. You just have to.
That's called again what?
It's either dacquois or it's a Japonais meringue.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to be sophisticated now. We're not going to say any more sexual jokes. I promise.
But
for at least the next 33 seconds.
Wouldn't it be great to walk into a pastry, like a European pastry shop, and throw out these terms to them and make them think you have a little class?
Yeah, I can see me now with a little beret on and my mustache cut into like a thin mustache and a little cigarette hanging out my mouth and say, excuse me, I would like to have some croquembouche and bouche de noël and a little roulade on the side.
I can see
that. That almost sounded German there, Brilliant Ideas. Wearing a French break on, yes, I'd like a croquembouche, please, yes.
But these are just so, I mean, they're so, you know, and these are things that we learn when we're in culinary school, and but, you know, out and about in the world, it's not something that we come across all the time. And when you see them in a store, you know, you get really excited because you know right away what they are. And when I was trying to think about what to talk about today, I mean, my gosh, there's millions of things. I mean, and of course, all of our desserts are based on a lot of French applications. You know, I mean, the pie crust dough that we use in our apple pies is a dough that is basically a French based dough, and it's what is called a pâte brisée, and it's a salty dough. And then there are sucré doughs, which are used for other types of applications like fruit tart. So everything that we make as Americans is derived from, you know, a European heritage. So it's nice to be able to kind of see.
The Pillsbury Doughboy, he's French.
Yes, his real name is Francois, but, you know.
Francois,
he just,
yes.
It's just...
Francois Croquembouche. Yes.
You know, you have to hear the French accent, you know, and it's a little bit of a turn on, but you know, I think you just have to be the right type to be a little bit more receptive.
Crispy, can you turn it on? Can you do the French accent?
I do not do very well French accents, just mainly like Russian, Romanian, supervillain kind of accents and things like that. I'm not good at the French.
So no,
Croquembouche needs some work, my friend. Yes.
But we still have one more dessert to talk about.
Well, fire away.
And this is the one that just turns everybody on. I mean, this is the one that, you know, we love to hate because it's so delicious, not very calorie laden, but still one of those deliciously heavenly desserts that a lot of people tend to stay away from. But it's of course the souffle that we all know and love.
Yes, the chocolate souffle.
We're going to be making a chocolate souffle is one of the blog posts, and this recipe that I have is a fantastic. Yay, the cheering crowd.
Yay.
Fabulous recipe. Very easy. People, again, don't want to try it because they're afraid to make the meringue. This is something that, you know, I've come across a lot of recipes. Some of the recipes have applications that you need to make it and bake it right away. This particular recipe, you can actually make it ahead of time, cover it and refrigerate it, and then go off and enjoy your evening, and then when you're ready for dessert, just throw them in the oven. So it's not something you have to kind of labor over last minute and put together last minute while, and, you know, it's not something that's going to take you away from, you know, your friends or, you know, your party for too long a time. You just have to leave the table for 5 minutes, throw them in the oven, and then 15 or 20 minutes later, you've got this fantastic dessert. And again, the souffle has both sweet and savory applications. I have a really great cheese souffle recipe that is on the blog that is actually Julia Child's recipe that I use. and then of course the sweet applications, which you could do just about anything with. And we're going to be making the chocolate souffle, but you can use a plain base and then fold in some fresh purees, strawberry puree, raspberry puree, and make all different kinds of fruit-based ones too. But whatever you do when you serve it, make sure you've either got a really nice sauce to kind of pour into it, or make sure you've got some really rich ice cream or semifreddo. I've got a couple of really great semifreddo recipes on the blog, so make sure you check out some of those and serve along with it. So one of those things that...
These are all on Good Food. They'll be on goodfoodgourmet.com later today or this week.
Well, not all of them today. The one that's going to be on today is the Saint Honoré cream cake. And then tomorrow we'll have another one, and then the beginning of the week we'll have one each day. So I'll kind of release the pictures of everything each morning, as I usually do, kind of introducing something new and trying to get everybody hot and bothered and all excited to be able to start their day off on the right foot with a great dessert. It's a wonderful way to celebrate Bastille Day. So,
Let me ask a question.
Yes.
When I go into the bakery and I ask for my roulade, also known as, hey, baby, give me a jelly roll. When you say some are sweet and some are savory, what's the difference?
Well, sweet is obviously a dessert, and a savory application is, when we were talking about butterflying a piece of meat, if you butterfly a piece of meat and then fill it with, all kinds of things. You can fill it with, a breadcrumb and cheese filling. You can fill it with spinach and, sautéed onions or mushrooms, all kinds of things. And then you roll it up and then you tie it. Have you ever? Oh, this sounds terrible.
Crispy.
This sounds terrible. See, I knew that you had an agenda, and you probably already had all of this planned.
You're trying to rope me in. No, there you go, roping her in. See, I had nothing to do with that.
Well, anyway, you tie it up.
Yeah.
You throw it over a little bit of hot oil. Oh,
and
no,
you hand cup it to the oven.
Still not good. this isn't going well. But you saute it a little bit in some oil. You throw it in the oven, and because the meat has been butterflied, it cooks relatively quickly. And then when you take it out, you cut all the bondage off. All the rope and everything. You cut it off.
Yeah.
Let it cool for a little bit. And then slice it. And it's absolutely beautiful. They look like little pinwheels with filling on the inside. So you could do it with poultry. You can do it with meat. And, of course, you can do it with cake.
Okay.
And you're going to be able to do it really easily with the cake that I'm going to be able to provide for you, because this recipe is a cinch.
All right. Crispy.
Awesome.
You have any things you need to add? Do you have anything, questions you may have before we let the kitty cat go?
No, I'm just writing all this down because I actually have a little French bakery right down the street from me, and I'm going to go in there and throw words around like a gangster. I'd like a Japanese, please. They'll be like, oh, my, the supervillain knows what kind of fancy schmancy desserts he wants, really.
Just make sure you have your little black book with you that day, because the girls are just going to be falling all over you.
Especially when you do that. Bushtonwell, that one worked every time.
Bushtonwell. Sounds like a Russian vodka. Bushtonwell.
Yeah, it does. All right,
well,
kitty cat.
Well, I'm so glad we clarified that. Thanks, guys. I'm getting ready for a huge party this afternoon, so I hate to love you and run, but I'm going to have to run today.
Well, that's what they all do, love us and run. But you have a nice
weekend.
And enjoy your Bastille Day.
I will.
You too.
Love
all
you guys.
Right.
Buy my crispies and my crunchies. Have a great one.
You too.
All right. Did you learn anything?
I'm hungry.
Yeah.
Every time she comes on, I'm like drooling on myself with all the desserts she tells us about.
You know,
they're so tasty.
I know she must dread coming on here every month because it always seems to go the wrong direction.
It's like we're like 3-year-old kids that just don't listen on a sugar high. These guys just don't listen.
Well, everybody who is listening, make sure you go to the website goodfoodgourmet.com. That's where you can find all these luscious Frenchy desserts, the roulades, I like to call the jelly roll, the fancy cream cake, all that stuff.
The Japanese?
Yeah, that's it. No, I don't think that was it. Was it Antaraya or something? Anyway.
Quadras? I don't know. I forgot.
Anyway, all those nice desserts will be on her website, goodfoodgourmet.com. Don't listen to us. She makes great stuff, and you'll be able to find out how to make them, and you'll be a star in your neighborhood if you go and make the different recipes that Kitty Cat puts on her site. And we're going to take a break. And since she mentioned getting all tied up and bondage and all that stuff, I'm going to take a break and play the song by one of our guests, Coyote Kings, called All Tangled Up. And Crispy, are you going to be hanging around here, or did you have a hot date to go to?
I actually have a lunch date to go to. Yes.
I thought so.
Yes, I actually have a lunch date, but I will be back later in the show. It won't take very long because, as we all know, Crispy's dates don't last very long, if you know what I mean. Especially with my Japanese in the crooked bush. The crooked bush or whatever. Crooked
all right,
bush.
You go take your break and enjoy your lunch. I'm going to continue with the show. We're going to take a break here with the Coyote Kings. We'll be back here in a few minutes.
Best shot, give me what you got. Boy, you know I want it.
Is your website missing that extra zing? Do you need a radio commercial? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then I can help you. Hello, I'm Christopher Trimble, and I am a voiceover artist. I offer these great services: website intros, corporate presentations, audiobooks, radio commercials, and much, much more. Check out my site, www.christophertrimble.com, or you can call 407-556-5506. Once again, that phone number is 407-556-5506. Making noise since 1970.
Yes, he is making noise everywhere he goes. Check out Crispy's website if you'd like to get a fancy-smancy radio broadcast style type of commercial, or if you need an intro for your websites. He's the man to do it, and we are back. I'm going to do what we said we were going to do last night and forgot. I'm going to give away a free coffee mug. So I'm going to give a little trivia question. If you were just listening to the show, the first part, we had Kitty Cat. We were talking about all kinds of French desserts and all kinds of fancy words, and we got carried away. But it's got a real easy question because we probably said it about 50 times. If you're the first caller that calls in 714-242-5272, that's 714-242-5272, can answer this question. What was the sweet and savory jelly roll, French jelly roll, what's it called? What were we talking about on the show? Give me a call, or you can put the answer on the chat room. Either way, the first person who calls in, 714-242-5272, will receive a free coffee mug. So please give us a call if you'd like to win a mug. It's an easy question. What was that French jelly roll called? It's a fancy French word. The first caller, call in, give me the answer. And we're going to take another brief break. We're waiting for our next guest to come on. It's supposed to be Diane Jacob coming on next. She's a writing coach, but she hasn't shown up on the board yet, so we'll have to wait and see what happens here. But I'm going to play a couple of our sponsors' ads. We'd like to thank our sponsors for helping us bring this show every Saturday and every Friday night. And if you get a chance, check out their websites. They're both very good sponsors, have great products, and you will enjoy both. So hang tight as we try to dig through the mess and find our next guest, and we'll be back here in just a few minutes.
Hey, Mr. Brilliant Ideas, what's new?
Hey, Crispy, check out what I got today. I got a box of cigars from the Don Pablo Cigar Factory.
Awesome! I was just checking out the website for the Don Pablo Cigar Factory over at www.donpablocigars.com.
Yeah, did you know they have a great selection of cigars like natural, sweet, and Maduro?
They also have cognac, vintage, and aromatic cigars as well.
The Don Pablo Cigar Factory has their very own cigar makers, each with over 30 years experience, and they are masters in their field.
Every cigar sold at the Don Pablo Cigar Factory is handmade and hand-rolled from scratch right in front of the customer. How cool is that? The Don Pablo Cigar Factory can be reached at 1-800-537-4957. Once again, that phone number is 1-800-537-4957. Order your cigars today from www.donpablocigars.com. Has your dinner been tasting a little bland lately? Do you love to barbecue? If you answered yes to these questions, then I have a great solution for you. Let Albuquerque Seasonings spice up your next meal. Albuquerque Seasonings offers rubs and sauces that feature new Mexico chili products that add a distinctive taste with a southwestern kick. Check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/Albuquerque. Follow us on Twitter at Albuquerque Barbecue. And most importantly, check out the website and order some great rubs and sauces over at www.albuquerqueseasonings.com. That's spelled ALBUKIRKY, seasonings.com.
Yes, check out both of our sponsors' products, Don Pablo Cigars, the greatest cigar you'll ever smoke, hand-rolled, smooth. They have all kinds of different flavors. In fact, they're coming out with a chocolate cigar, and I think it's going to be pretty cool. We're supposed to be getting samples of that to test out and let everybody know what they taste like. And then don't forget to check out Albuquerque Seasonings. Kirk makes a great group of seasonings and rubs. He has the green chili rub, which is perfect on everything, even on Crispy's blackberry pancakes. I believe he could use it on that. He also has a barbecue rub that's fantastic. I use it all the time, and he's got a barbecue sauce, so do check out all of his products. And once again, we thank him and the Don Pablo folks for being sponsors for us. And by the way, if you ever want to be a sponsor, we have a real cool way for you to be a sponsor. Just let us know, send us an email, drop us a line on Facebook. We can help you with the radio broadcast commercial, and you can be on the radio and share in the fun. And we still don't have our guest. This is one of those here we go again moments, but I don't know if we're having technical difficulties, but I didn't get any phone calls regarding the free mug and the question. The question was, we talked about French desserts with Kitty Cat on the first part of our show. What is this fancy name for the jelly roll we talked about? I'll give you a hint. It starts with an R, and it comes in both sweet or savory. If you know the answer and the first caller to call in, you can win a free coffee mug, 714-242-5272. And someone's trying to call in, but the system is not working again. Here we go. Anyway, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to reset, so everybody hang tight, and hopefully we can get our next guest on here who was supposed to be on at 9. There is someone trying to call in, but it's not going through. So while we wait, I'm going to play a little of Big Earl. He was one of our guests, I guess about 3 months ago, and he's a blues guy. He came on our show, did a great job. He's one of our Grills Gone Wild Friday night guests. And if you don't listen to our Friday night shows, you should, because we have a lot of cool talent that comes on Friday nights, introducing bands you may have never heard of, new people. Some have been around for a long time, but they're not well known, and maybe they're more like local people, but great talent. And I'm going to play Big Earl's Low Cash Blues, which is what Crispy and I are used to dealing with, and try to see if I can reset the show and get people's calls to work. So here's Big Earl, Low Cash Blues, and hopefully when we get back after the song, we'll be back in business and have our guest. Hang tight.
I can't remember.
Night shows, great talent. If you get a chance, go back and listen to the replay. We do have the phones working again. Not sure if they're going to come through, but we're going to try. And here we go. We're going to press the button and hope that someone is there. Good morning.
Hello.
This is Grillion Ideas Radio. Who's on the line?
Diane Jacob.
Hey, Diane, our guest. Welcome to the show. We're having technical difficulties over here in Three Stooges land, and I just was hoping that was you because the numbers aren't showing up. All I see is people calling, but it doesn't tell me who it is. So, hey, that was potluck. Thank you for calling in. Welcome to the show. We appreciate you coming on board and coming on our show to tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do. And I understand, Diane, that you are a writing coach and an author who recently published a book called We'll Write for Food, and want to just have you on our show just to kind of tell us, what, first of all, what is a writer coach?
Well, you know, a lot of people want to write a book or start a blog or write for magazines, and I help them. I help them get started. I've helped people who've written several books. So it's not just people who've never done it before.
Okay.
You know, when you've never done it, you don't know what's involved, and it's complicated. So it helps to have somebody show you the ropes.
So you actually will help someone take a concept or an idea and put it on paper to then take it from the bright idea in their head and put it on paper and then turn it around and actually help them go all the way through to putting it into book form?
Yes. You know, if you decided that you wanted to write a nonfiction book, you would have to write a book proposal. It would have to be a commercially viable idea. Book proposals are 50 to 70 pages long, and they have a lot of, there's different sections. You have to compare yourself to other books and write a marketing plan, and, it's very complicated.
Well, then, how
and
long
there's
you, have
a 1% acceptance rate.
What percent?
One or 2%.
Really? Wow.
Yes.
Wow. So you're when you go into this, your odds are way against you that it'd even be accepted by a publisher.
Exactly.
Wow. Now, how long have you been doing this? You've been an author, I guess, for a while, and a freelance writer, but how long have you actually been a coach?
About 15 years.
Okay. Do you have any famous folks that you've helped out?
No. Well,
no?
I have a shelf on my bookshelf of books that have been published with my help, but I don't know
good.
If you have heard of them.
Well, they're famous. if they made it through the 1-2% acceptance rate, they got to be famous for that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty tough. And then there's people who want to self-publish their books. I help them get self-published. I edit their books.
Now, what I understand is your
place to do it.
Your actual book called Will Write for Food. What is the topic? What is that actually about?
It is for people who want to write a cookbook, write a blog, review books, write memoir. Freelance writing, and they have to learn how to write a recipe.
So is that actually like a how-to book?
Yes.
Oh, okay, cool. And if people want to find your book and your services, they can go to your website, which is www.dianej.com, and we have a link here on our radio show that all you do is click and it takes you right over to Diane's website. I also see that you're big into the food and the culinary. You're culinary professionals. You're the you're on the James Beard Foundation, International Association of Culinary Professionals. So most of your background in writing and helping people with books would be in the food arena.
Yes. Yeah, that's my passion.
That's your passion. So, and then on your blog, you publish a blog. How often do you publish your blog?
Once a week, I cover topics that are of interest to food writers, tips on recipe writing, blogging. I have interviews with agents and publishers and editors.
So if a guy like me, Green Ideas, wants to publish a book, and his idea is this, how to barbecue while sitting in your recliner, I would bring that.
Yeah.
I would bring that idea to you. You like the title? See, there you go. Title.
Yeah.
I guess title is one of the biggest parts, right?
Yes.
So I want to. Let's say I want to write this book. What do I do? I call you up and say, "Okay, Diane, I've got this idea where I want to show a lazy man barbecue." Then take me through the process. What do you do for me?
Well, we're going to spend a lot of time on the idea,
okay.
Whether it's big enough for a book, whether there are 20 books just like it, whether you have something new to say, whether you're qualified to write the book.
Which probably I'm not. But wait a minute, I do have a lot of experience of being in a recliner. Does that help?
Yes, excellent.
So then how do you work it out? Do you actually charge a fee? Like hourly fee or a set fee, or is it based on sales of books? How does your process work, and how do you charge people?
I have a minimum 5-hour fee to work
okay.
with people, and 5 hours is you know, not enough to help somebody get all the way through a proposal, but we start, and then people sign up for another 5 hours, and we get it done.
Do you find that today with all the Kindles and all of the technology that is it easier or harder to do a book?
That's a really good question. I think it's harder because you can't just say, well, I want to write a barbecue book if you have no platform. That's the word that publishers use. It means if you were entering barbecue contests and had won a few, if you write a blog about barbecuing, if you had had some recipes published, then you would have what's called a platform that establishes that you are an expert in barbecuing in your recliner.
Okay.
Then you would have more credibility to write the book. But if you just say, hey, I want to write this book because I think it would be fun, but you don't have the platform behind you and you don't have people waiting in line who would want to buy your book,
right,
then it's harder, much harder to convince a publisher that they should buy this book from you.
In other words, you have to have some cred to write a book. And if you're going to write a book, they want to have someone who has a working knowledge and platform who can back up what they're putting in their book.
Yes. If you covered, you know, barbecuing in your recliner on your radio show every week, that would be incredible. People, you know, publishers would love that.
Well, maybe I should start talking about that. Every week I'll start talking about barbecuing in my recliner, so probably in about 10 years, after broadcasting for 10 years, I might be ready to write my book.
I hope it doesn't take that long.
Well, I'm trying to get
you
a lot of experience.
You
can
put photos of recliners, you know, on the website.
Right.
Yeah. Should have
now,
a whole strategy.
Do you do a ghostwriting, too? I hear people that do ghostwriting.
I do.
You also do that? Oh, okay.
Yes, I do.
And how
does
that work?
Kind of fun.
So you actually write the book for someone and do all the hard work and they put their name on it, right?
That's right. Yeah,
I guess
the
famous, a lot of famous people
name.
Do that, right?
Well, yeah, because they're running their own business and they don't really have time to write a book themselves, so they just hire somebody to write it for them in their own voice.
Cool.
Yeah. If my name is on the cover, the price goes down. If it isn't, then the price goes up.
Yeah, because I sometimes see books where they'll say a book by so-and-so famous, and then it'll say co-written by or something along that line with another person you've never heard of in your life.
That's right, and that's me.
Well, that's cool. And then on those kind of deals, I'm just interested because I've never done anything like this. If in those kind of deals, then I guess you also, if your name's on the book, you get a certain amount of the proceeds of the sale of the book.
Well, that you can put that in your contract that you want a percentage of royalties, yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. Okay.
Or you get a flat fee.
If anybody wants to check out Diane and her services, make sure you go to www.dianej.com. She also has the blog there, and it's the same address, I believe. It's just /blog. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay, and you can find her blog there to find out more about her services, how she can help you. If you've got a passion to write a book, she can help you out and take your dream to reality on paper. But make sure you got the cred to do it, and that she will take you through the process and hopefully get you through to that 1 or 2% acceptance rate. But I have to cut our interview short because I'm running behind because of all the problems you're having. But is there anything else you want to add about your service? Anything else you want to say before we let you go?
No, I think it's just exciting for people when they get published or when they see their first blog post. It's really exciting to get to that point, and I love helping people get there.
Well, thank you very much and wish you much more success. And anybody out there, check out Diane's services. And you have a nice weekend, Diane. Thank you for stopping by and telling us about your products.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
All right. Thank you, Diane. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
And there you go, Diane Jacobs. She's a writing coach. She's an author. She can help you out taking your ideas from your brain to a piece of paper or a Kindle type operation and get your book out there. So check her out. We're going to take another brief break. The phones are working again, thank goodness. Don't forget, if you are listening and want to win a free coffee mug, my question today was, what is the French dessert we talked about earlier in the show? It's a jelly roll. What's it called? If the first person calls in at 714-242-5272 can win a free Green Ideas coffee mug. We're going to take, like I say, a real brief break. And our next guest is Tamaray. She's a great country music singer. You guys are going to love her music. Hang tight, because I'm going to make this a short one. This has been like one of those crazy days, and it's like Benny Hill over here. So we'll be back here in about 1 minute. Thank you for joining us on the Green Ideas radio show Saturday morning. We've had some great first two guests, and sorry we've been having some phone problems. I know there's some people who have tried to call in for the free coffee mug, I assume, but we're having issues with trying to figure out who's on first, what's on second. But thank you for hanging in there. If we don't find a winner today on the radio live, we will post the question on Facebook later, and the first person who can answer the question will win the free coffee mug on Facebook. Our next guest is a great country music artist. She's actually a California girl, and if I can get her phone to work, please, please work. Phone, please, please work. We're still having problems. If I can get her on the phone here, Tamaray is our next guest, and I'll keep my fingers crossed. Tamaray, are you there?
I'm here.
Yay! All right, it's working.
Yay,
we're having some problems again this morning, but thank you for being on the show.
Oh, no, thank you for having me on the show.
We appreciate
I'm
you
so
come,
excited.
Taking time. Yeah, this is like major time excitement, isn't it?
I think so. I'm actually at the NAMM show here in Nashville, and I had to tell everybody, I have to go to a radio interview. Excuse me, I'll be right back.
Yeah, it's the big time radio you're on here. But we do thank you for coming on. And Mandy had lined us up. Mandy Moore is on our show actually last night talking about all the different talent. And you're one of the people that she recently signed. And I was listening to your music. Fantastic stuff, by the way.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm glad you like it. It took us a while to do it and create it. It's all originals except for two songs, but they're all originals.
Really? Cool. Yeah, it's really good stuff. And, in fact, what I'm going to do is give our listeners a taste of your music. I'm going to play your song, Great American Fourth of July. And is that one of the ones, your originals that you wrote?
Yes, I actually wrote that with a great writer, Rick Tiger, and Grace Godson. Rick has written for Joe Nichols, and he's a huge writer here in Nashville. And he's actually got some cuts that are going to be out, and people can know more about him later on, but it's a wonderful song. It was a wonderful experience to write it as well. So
yeah, it's got an interesting twist to it. It's appropriate too, since it was like it was just July 4th, just about a week or so ago. So I'm gonna play that song, and then we'll come back and chat a little bit about you, your background, and what you're doing out there in Nashville, and bring everybody up to date and some of your plans. So hang tight. This is Tamaray, And am I saying your name correctly, by the way?
You are, yes. It's Tamara.
Yeah, I got to tell you a funny story about that when we come back. But Tamara and her song, Great American Fourth of July.
But if I had to find the words to describe myself, I am who I am. Love me if you can. But if I wrote a book about me, it would tell that I'm a sweet pea on a front porch swing, black lion in a summer breeze. I'm a heart so big that it ain't afraid to cry. I'm a
Arkansas.
I'm from Arkansas, and I wasn't there long enough to actually become a part of it. But my hometown, I consider, is in Bakersfield because I grew up most of my life there. Even though we grew up on the road and we traveled a lot when I was younger, we moved every six to nine months. We kept moving. My dad was a traveling salesman, and we just never had money coming from six kids, and finally settled down in Roots in Shafter, California, right outside Bakersfield, and moved to Oildale and learned about Merle Haggard and Buck Owens, and I'm like, oh, I like what they do. I want to be like them.
Well, you've got the accent, too. You've got the southern accent, so that's why I was kind of surprised. Now I know. See, you got the Arkansas blood in you, so that's where the country music comes from.
Yeah, actually, and the funniest thing is my little sister is actually from Muskogee, Oklahoma.
Okay.
So the song by Merle Haggard, Muskogee.
Yeah.
So it kind of works together. And everybody in my family almost has like a little accent, even though we're from California. I can do the valley thing, though. I can be a valley girl. Like, totally. Who else can't?
Totally.
Totally.
So when did you start singing?
I actually started singing, I think, my sixth grade teacher, Mr. Ruppert. He's the one that actually got me to start singing. And I didn't have my first solo until high school because I didn't think I could sing. And the reason why I moved to Nashville was because my friend, I was just coming to follow her. I would sing backup for her at the Crystal Palace, and I sang a few songs by myself, but we ended up, she's like, oh, come move to Nashville. I'm like, okay. So I just packed up and left and told my parents, hey, by the way, I'm leaving. And they're like, really? I was like, yep, sorry.
Now you were there. That was in 2010, right? That was just because it wasn't that long ago.
That was in 2010. It wasn't that long ago. We started working on the record. My friend Race said, Tamara, you know you can sing. And I'm like, well, I like to write. I can't sing very well. Because I'm not if you listen to my songs, I'm not a Carrie Underwood, but I can sing. I think I can anyways.
Yeah, I think you can sing. It sounds pretty good to me.
Well, thank you. And he's like, let's start writing for a record. We'll just do like a little demo and we'll just see what happens. And it just took off from there. So we've been touring now and doing bigger shows. And
now you just recently completed your debut album called Something Amazing.
Yes, which the first single is the ones, I gave you two of the mini singles, but our first radio single that's going to go nationwide is going to be Something Amazing. We're doing the radio edited version of it currently, which should be released in the middle of August.
Oh, cool. So now, are you playing anywhere in Nashville? Are you opening for anyone, or what do you actually do while you're in Nashville other than writing songs and making the album?
Actually, in Nashville, I haven't been here often. Tonight we're here. Well, this week we've been here for the NAMM show, which is the National Association of Music Merchants.
Okay.
And we've been here just trying to get endorsements and learning about other guitars and stuff. But I also work with some charities like American Lung Association and Guitars in the Classroom. So we travel, going into schools, talking about guitars, playing guitars for kids. I do that. And we also just travel and do our own show. We just got back on a tour, like a 5-day tour, up in Kentucky and I think it's East Tennessee. I'm probably okay. I'm from the West Coast, so I always want to say West. But.
So are you heading back to California anytime?
Actually, at the end of August, we'll be back down there. Yes.
And so. are you doing like any concerts or anything while you're back home?
Actually, I will. We're talking to the booking agent right now. I know that I have schools in Escondido area. We have some up in Fresno, Bakersfield, and we also have some in San Francisco area. That we got schools, so we're just waiting on them.
You had to let me know about that because I'm actually in San Diego. Matter of fact, I'm probably 20 minutes away from Escondido. So when you hit the big town of Escondido, you got to let me know. I have to go by and meet you. And are you going to actually be playing actually at the schools themselves?
Yeah, I'll be playing at the schools themselves. If they have guitars in the classroom at the schools, we go down there and perform for the students and stuff. So, but also that at nighttime, I think there's a few places around town that we're going to be stopping in venues, the local venues, which the booking agent's working on now.
Oh, great. Well, what I'm going to do, Tamara, is play another one of your songs. The song is called Catch Me. and then we will come back and chat for a few more minutes. It's always funny when I say the song, you laugh. What makes you laugh when I say the song?
It's just the song. It's the way we wrote it was just hilarious. We're just sitting, and it just went from one thing to another. And I was like, I want to write a song about a note because I've always wanted a guy to catch me, and I always play hard to get. And so we just wrote a song about hard to get.
Well, it is really a cute song, and we're going to play that next, and we'll come back and chat for a few more minutes. This is Tamaray and her song, Catch Me.
Awesome. Every time, and every time I play it live, people just start laughing too, because it's just women want a man to come and catch them, and then when you stop and you let him catch you and you think he thinks he's got you, you just take off running again.
No, that really is a cute song. And by the way too, if people want to get your music, can they find it on your website? I got your website posted. It's mytamaray.com. It's a link here on our show. All you do is click on the link. Can they find your music there and all the other
Yes.
like places like CD, Baby, Amazon, those type places?
They can buy it digitally. Yeah, you can buy it on CD, Baby. You can buy it on iTunes now. You can also go to my website and get all the merchandise we have and actually buy a physical CD. If you do buy it on the My Tamaray website, we actually send you a shirt sometimes, too. Depends on
cool.
who it goes. So it's kind of like a drawing or a lottery.
Just make sure
in like the notes that you say, I'm a medium or I'm a small or what size you are.
you have like 2X and 3X for us men folk fans?
No, but I can. I have to purchase new ones anyways.
Yeah, go to Tamaray's website. It's mytamaray.com. There's the link right here on our show. And since this is a cooking show, and we're supposed to talk about food, I have to ask the question, are you a cook? Do you do any fancy barbecue or anything like that?
That's kind of funny. We're actually making a cookbook because I love cooking. And, well, I have a friend when I first moved to town to Nashville. I have two friends that could hardly cook. So we started this cookbook, and it's an idea. It's called The Sexy Little Cookbook for Girls Who Just Don't Cook. And everything is in, it's to prepare anything you need, appetizers, dinners for him and her, and it's going to be in sections, but everything is going to be able to cook four things or less and in four steps or less. But
cool.
I teach them how about crock pots and just baking. You can just take everything, throw it in the crock pot, add some seasoning to it, and it tastes good. And you have a four-course meal right there. Just add some salad. And it goes through the steps of everything. So
now, when are you introducing the book?
That's actually not going to come out until next year, but we're going to start actually doing live video of it and putting it on YouTube,
cool.
Like 30-second segments, and it'll show everything. So it'll teach people how to cook real quick, and it's not these do this, now measure out this, and too many steps makes people get confused. So it's all take a cup of all these, throw them in a box. Throw them in the crock pot. Turn it on.
Never talked before. I never had an idea that you were making a cookbook, so that's pretty cool for our food show that you're actually making a cookbook, and you have to let us know when it comes out next year, and we'll publish it on our website and let people know that they can go find your cookbook and see who'd ever thunk that. Now tell us, what is your favorite recipe?
Chocolate cake.
I can't help it.
And peach cobbler. My grandma had two of them, and she taught me how to make peach cobbler and her chocolate cake. She's from Oklahoma, so it's a recipe that's been there from the Dust Bowl time, before the Great Depression. My grandma's been around, and she's perfected it.
Now, will this peach cobbler and chocolate cake be in your book, cookbook?
It will be in the cookbook.
Great.
So, I've already got her permission. She said yes.
And by the way, too, the fiery red hair should help you with the all the publicity. I saw the red hair. I'm like, wow, it's like fiery red. Is that, well, I guess you're not supposed to ask the woman this question, but is that real or is that?
It is real. I have proof in second grade, kindergarten pictures, all my life.
Wow.
I had the red hair. Now, it was fire engine red when I was younger. I looked like the McDonald's man. Like, it was that red. And now it's kind of, since I've been out in the sun, it's kind of gotten a little lighter and got a little bit of blonde streaks. So it's okay now.
Well, that's the kind of question a man is not supposed to ask a woman, but I saw the fiery red, and I have to ask. It's still sort of a fire engine red. So, I saw that, and I pictured you with that Catch Me song with the fiery red hair running away. It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you stopping by while you're at that show there and our little radio station and talking with us, and we wish you much success, and keep us posted with any new projects you've got going on, like the cookbook or any other like new albums that you may be cutting. And if you're out here in California, make sure you look us up.
Oh, I will. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you, Tamaray. We appreciate it. You take care.
You too. Thank you so much.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And there you go. Check out Tamaray, or it's mytamaray.com. You can find her music there, a little bit about her bio and stories about her and her background, and very great talent. We appreciate her taking time to be on our show. Love her music. I think you will too. And I wanted to mention that everybody, we did not get a winner for the prize because we were having phone problems. So I will post the question on Facebook later today and Twitter, and then the first person who contacts us will win the free coffee mug. And also want to mention next Friday, we have the Groovinators coming on. It's a great band. They were scheduled to be on before, and we had the technical difficulties a few weeks ago, but they're coming back on next Friday night. And we have next Saturday, Greg Pope is scheduled to be the singer, and we have Johnny McLaughlin, who is from Heartbreak Hot Sauce, be coming on, and a few other surprise guests. Thank you for everybody's support. Each week, our listenership gets higher and higher, and we've actually had the last 3 weeks more listeners in the last 3 weeks than we actually had the last 2.5-3 months. So thank you for everyone's support. Thank you to our two sponsors, Albuquerque Seasonings and Don Pablo Cigars. Check out their websites and buy some of their product. And I'm going to close out today with my favorite ZZ Top song, I'm Bad Nationwide. Join us again next Friday night at 7 o'clock West Coast time, 10 o'clock East Coast time, and again next Saturday, 8:30 in the morning West Coast time. Thanks again. Everyone have a nice weekend. Great ideas. I'm out, and everyone be good.
Strikes and wearing our love. Go.